Do you find that we tend to make things harder than they have to be? Have you ever experienced that? I know that when it comes to writing, it really is a great thing for us to take a look at our routine, maybe with a fresh eye. Stick around. Your best writing life begins right now. Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb, and each week I bring you tips and strategies from writing and industry experts in the publishing industry, experts to help you excel in your craft. And I'm so glad that you're listening in. And during this episode, you're going to learn top tips to streamline your writing life. My industry expert happens to be one of my good friends. I'm so glad that she's here with me, Edie Melson. Let me tell you a little bit about Edie. She is a woman of faith with ink-stained fingers, observing life through the lens of her camera. As a popular speaker, Edie encourages and challenges audiences on the necessity of soul care and leads workshops throughout the world on staying connected to God. Her numerous books, including the award-winning Soul Care series and Unruffled, Thriving in Chaos, co-authored with Rhonda Ray, reflect her passion to help others develop the strength of their God-given gifts and to apply them to their lives. Since 2017, Edie's industry blog, The Write Conversation, has been recognized as a Writer's Digest Top 101 Sites for Writers. She is the director of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference and a board member of the Advanced Writers and Speakers Association. She and her husband, Kirk, have been married over 40 years, and they have raised three amazing sons. They live in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains and can be found hiking most often, with Edie clinging on the edge of a precipice for the perfect angle to get that shot with her camera. And Kirk, well, he's patiently carrying her camera bag and her tripod, of course. Please welcome Edie Melson to Your Best Writing Life. Edie, it is so good to have you here.
I am so excited to be here. What a great new year. We're off to a super start, and I just can't wait to dive into how to streamline your writing life and some of the tips that I have found that make life a little easier for me as a writer.
We're going to jump right into this. Let's start off with this. If we're looking to simplify our writing life, what would be your first tip for us?
My first tip is that we all need to take a look at our goals. And it's important to have goals. And it's important, even more than that, to have goals that are written down. I used to think I had goals, but they weren't written down anywhere. And so I kind of sort of knew what my goals were, but it's hard to make progress towards something when you don't really know what that something is. So make a list, figure it out. Beyond that, there's something magical about writing down your goals. Having them recorded somewhere gives them weight and makes them easier to prioritize. Now, I hope it goes without saying that when you're looking at your goals, you are praying first and asking God what He has for you and what He would like for your goals to be in your writing.
Amen. We can't afford to leave God out of it. I mean, if we do that, then it's like we're, okay, well, I'm going to start. Oh, by the way, God, this. So I like that you say, make sure that you're including God in this. And as you present something for you to be in accordance with His will for your life in that. So that's beautiful. All right. Then the second one, you say that we need to evaluate how much time we're spending on social media. All right. And I'm going to tell you that coming from you can be a shock to a lot of people, because you're like the social media guru and you tell us what we need to do on social media. So I want to see how you're going to suggest we evaluate this.
Well, I have to confess that I have the same kind of love-hate relationship with social media as everybody else. I love what God does through social media. I love the connections. I love those God moments. But I hate the drudgery of it. And I hate the fact that suddenly I can look up and I've lost hours doing essentially nothing. So for me, it's important for me to evaluate how much time I'm spending and put a limit to it. So I recommend very strongly no more than 30 minutes a day. After 30 minutes, your return on your time investment takes a severe nosedive, and I guarantee you, you're doing more stalking your second cousin and your high school friend than you are actually doing any good. So keep it at 30 minutes a day. That's enough time to be on social media.
All right, I like that stalking people. I'm like, whoa, was I just stalking that person? I guess so. If I'm going through scrolling through all of their stuff and I realize how long have I been here? Yeah, I can get caught in that trap real quick, real quick. All right, so we're going to continue in the streamlining here with your third tip. What do you have for the third tip?
The third tip is let go of your expectations. Now, this is not a contradiction of looking at your goals and setting goals. There's a huge difference between goals and expectations. And I bet if you're like me and you're honest with yourself, you have a lot of expectations that may not be realistic, especially things that I expect of myself that I just can't deliver on. And yet, there they are. And they are getting in the way of me actually doing what I'm supposed to do. So when I take a hard look at those expectations, I can decide whether or not they're reasonable or not, so that I can make healthy goals and priorities and get rid of the expectations that are causing problems.
Boy, that's a big one for me, Edie, because I can, it is like an expectation trap. I can go, okay, well, I should be able to this and this and this and this. And I overwhelm myself with my own expectations. And I appreciate that you say it doesn't mean that you're not to plan. We should have that. But really, for me, it's looking at just do what's the next best step. And if I follow that, then I find that letting go of those expectations is a lot easier for me. Excellent.
You know, expectations can really get in our heads and can really mess us up, and it can interfere with being obedient. One of the things that helps us to be efficient and effective as a writer, especially a writer who is writing for God and writing with God, is the fact that we are being obedient. When we start letting expectations get all mixed up with obedience, then we start taking on God's part. We keep thinking, well, I have to have this many people see it, and I have to have that kind of result. Those are expectations. Expectations are God's business. Obedience is our business.
Ooh, hold on just a second. Let me get my feet back down on the ground for just a second here. All right. Got the little stepping on my toes here, but you're right. You're right. It's getting the order correct. This is God's job, and what I do is I'm obedient to what he's called me to do. And I don't have to really that kind of, I can shake stuff off my shoulders that way and not take the weight of the world on me, which allows me as well to let go of the expectations. Smooth, smooth, so good. All right. Number four, you say determine when in a 24-hour period that you're most creative. Tell us, walk us through that.
Well, I am most creative. It is easiest for me to come up with new ideas, to write, and the words just to flow between 8 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Those are my golden hours, to use a photography term. That's when everything is wonderful. For other people, they don't get creative until 10 o'clock at night. Then they get their second wind, and suddenly they're like, ooh, this. And they can write for several hours. But what we have to do is we have to figure out when in our 24-hour period God designed us to be the most creative. And then we need to guard that time. Because that time should be just for creativity. We should try not to schedule editing or meetings or, cleaning the house during those creative times. We want to guard it like gold because really and truly it's a treasure. Our income and our dreams as writers are locked up tight with our ability to create. And when we figure out the time that works best for creative work, it's like someone has handed us extra time. And that streamlines our life.
Ooh, that's so good, because I think about there's times when if I get stuck in my creative mind, I start saying, "What can I clean?" And I'm going, oh, yeah, you just wasted a moment, because you don't have to think to clean, Linda, but give yourself that sweet time where everything just flows. And really, it's almost like I'm having to get like a funnel vision during this time, Edie, to say, no, keep yourself in the seat. Don't let anything else come in and focus right here. And it's just going to flow. It's going to come out of you. And that, let me ask you this question. We have new writers that come in and are really just binging on Your Best Writing Life. How could you encourage them when they're like asking you, Edie, how do I find out when my most creative time is? They're
Well,
trying to figure that out.
I think one of the best ways to do it is to experiment with different times. When do you kind of get that second wind? When I get up in the morning, I get up really early. I'm a 5 o'clock in the morning before sunrise kind of girl. And so I get up, I stumble in there, I begin my quiet time, my prayer time, the peace comes. I have coffee and devotion time with Kirk. And then I kind of get my second wind and I start thinking, ooh, what if? When those what if questions come, that may be a good clue that this is your creative time. Look for some of those clues. Now, I've also had people ask me, what do I do if I work my 9 to 5 job during my creative time? Well, then you have to decide, is there a secondary creative time that works well for me? Or do I need to schedule my creative time on days when I'm not working? I know very successful writers who just write on the weekends or just write when they go away for a weekend a month or a week a month or something. So you have to get creative. And, if you ask God, he will answer you.
So great. And that's so true. He has the answers to every single question that we have. And so, and I like how you said that. When you have that moment where you go, ooh, what if? That's a clue, because your thinker's engaged, and it's an idea time that's maybe the perfect time to sit down and let your creative juices flow. I like that. Watch for that what if time. Very good. All right. What is your fifth tip that you have for us?
My fifth tip is that everybody needs to come up with a way that works with your personality to schedule your life. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to have a detailed calendar. It doesn't have to be color-coded. It doesn't have to be on, doesn't have to be anything. It just has to be something that you can keep up with. Because as you get more and more into this writing life, there are different things you have to keep up with. I have blog posts to schedule. I've got a conference to run with different things due at different times of the year. I have meetings that show up. And so I need to find a way that makes sense with the way my brain processes to keep up with this constant flow of energy and the fact that we all wear different hats at different times. So do some experimenting again. Maybe a Pomodoro, maybe you need a planner, maybe you need a digital way to keep track. Maybe you're like me and you use a bullet journal, but explore the way other writers keep track of time and figure out what works best for you.
Because, and I appreciate that you brought in for different personalities, because by God's design, we are different. And if we understand that and we embrace that uniqueness of who we are by his design, then we can absolutely be okay to do it our way or the way that works best for us. We don't have to be a carbon copy of someone else. They may come up with a great way that works for them. And if it doesn't work for us, doesn't mean that we're failing. It just means we haven't found our way yet. And so to keep researching, keep finding and experiment and see what works for us. Very, very good. All right. Number six, you say that we need to commit to quit talking negative to and about ourselves.
Yep, this is one that anytime I talk to a group, this is going to come up. I don't care if I'm telling you about social media or soul care or whatever, stop talking negatively about yourself is going to come up because we waste so much time recovering from the bad things we say to and about ourselves. And that cuts in to our ability to create. When I say something bad to myself, it's just like when my kids were little and I said something negative to them. It may take 6 or 7 or 15 positive things to get past that one negative thing. So stop it. Stop talking negatively to yourself and stop putting down the things that you are doing.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it anymore. Just stop it. Just
Just
go, ah, I'm not even going to listen to myself. We have to do it. We have to choose that. It, and I think of it this way, Edie. If I had one of my good friends in front of me, or my spouse, or my children, and I heard them speaking down to themselves, I would immediately say, whoa, 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 you are precious and valuable. And you are amazing. Don't use those words on yourself. I would jump to their cause quickly. And what you're sharing with me right now, and with our listeners and our viewers, we need to jump to our own cause. We need to realize that how God designed us and what we're doing does not deserve negative narration. We've got to eliminate that in order to not be distracted from the craft or the course that he has in front of us. So I take that to heart. I take that to heart. Words have power.
we need to be our own best defenders, not our own best destructors.
So good. That's a meme. All right. Number seven, you say take care of yourself physically. I know that this is something that you reiterate, but it takes repeating.
It really does, because if we're not taking care of ourselves physically, we're not able to be as productive. We're not able to be as joyful in the production. We're not able to sit without hurting. We're not able to stand. We're not able to travel. We only have one body. And if we're not going to take care of the temple God gave us, then we're not going to be able to do the things He called us to do.
That is so true. I was just speaking with a group today in a large coaching session and talking about when God's word says that we are his temple, we are obedient to his direction in that as well, because that is our best. And we got to take care of what it is that we have. Let's do it, folks. Take care of ourselves physically. Number eight, what is that?
What you need to do is work counterintuitively. You need to build in and take regular breaks. Now, there are times when I am on deadline, and there have been times when I have had 6 weeks to finish a book. And when that kind of a deadline looms, you think, I got to get up, I have to grab a quick bite, and then I need to sit in front of my computer and not move for 10 hours. Well, if you do that, after 10 hours, you won't be able to move. And the rest of the time that you need to be working, you won't be able to do effectively. So it actually is going to make you more efficient and more productive to step away from the computer, walk around the block, do a couple of stretches, get up and leave the room for 10 minutes. Then the next hour is going to be that much more productive.
I have to do it. I've got to do that myself, or else I get kind of stoved up a little bit. I look at the posture, I look at my shoulders, where my hands are, my legs, and I'm like, no, I've got to get up. I've got to move a little bit. And I find that when I come back, it's like I've regenerated some new thoughts, and it just makes me feel better. And I also make sure you're taking drinking in your water. Got do that during your there it is. Do that during your break time and just have that flow. Building in regular breaks is not negative. It's a necessity. Got to do it. All right. Then what is number nine?
Number nine is surround yourself with encouraging writers, not just encouraging people. We all need those too, but we also need other writers who understand, who are encouraging, because we're kind of an odd lot and we need other people around us who understand the thought processes, who understand the struggles, and who understand the quirky things that bring us joy.
We do. Surround yourself with those that get you. We've got this. All right. Number 10. Gosh, we can't proceed without this. So
Well,
share number 10.
and it took me a long time to do this, and I regret that. And number 10 is engage a prayer team. Folks, you are working for God. He has a team of scribes, and you are one of them. And so you are worthy. Your work is worthy to be prayed for. It is not egotistical to ask somebody to be on your prayer team when you're just starting out as a writer. We don't have to have something published before God is going to use us. So engage a prayer team. Ask these people to pray regularly for inspiration, for protection, for all the things that we all need. So I encourage you right now, stop where you are. If you haven't already, engage a prayer team.
And you mentioned this before, Edie, that when we're not sure who that would be, God has someone in mind. He has someone that would be a good fit for us. He has someone, even people that we may think, no, I can't ask that person. If you were prayerful and we're asking, Father, give me who I need. I know I need to be covered in prayer. And he brings to us some names, then we ask them. And I think it's good as well to say, I'm on this writing journey. This is where I need prayer covering right now. And if you think of something else that you can pray for me, let me know. And I'm open to that. And it's not a numbers game per se. It's not like, oh, you need to have X number of people praying for you for this to be biblically sound. It's knowing that those who agree to be on your prayer team, those who agree to come alongside you, that they're of like mind in the journey that you're taking. And they don't all have to be writers, right, Edie?
No, as a matter of fact, on my prayer team, only one other person is a writer. And the way I found some of my first members were the people I looked at who is already praying for me, who is already saying, how's your writing going? That's a big clue that these are people that God has called to pray for you.
Amen. Amen. All right. You have brought us 10 amazing tips. Anything that you'd like to share before we close today's episode?
I think the biggest thing is to realize that this is a process and we don't want to get too caught up in the production end of it.
So good.
Want to take time to walk with God.
We do like that. Take time, walk with him, talk with him. Let him download into us what it is that he desires of us in every aspect of our life. And streamlining, that occurs when we don't get hung up on what you said, on the process. Let's just experience our writing life and be in tune to what we can cut back on, let go of, who to connect with, how we can take care of ourselves in the process. All of this is so very good. Edie Melson, thank you so much for being here with us on Your Best Writing Life. It's always a blessing to have you here. And I'd like to thank all of you friends. Thank you for joining us. And if you would, please take a moment to share this podcast, share this with another writer or two, and give us a rating, a review. We want to hear from you. What else do you want to learn for your writing career? We want to be able to offer you what is available by so many industry experts. And my goodness, we have so much already that's in our archives. Check it out, check it out. But I greatly appreciate you. I greatly appreciate your walk and your writing. And I appreciate what you have to say as well. We're listening. We want to hear from you. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you the next time on Your Best Writing Life.